Over the next hour, we're going to journey to Brazil first and then to Egypt, two countries where millions, I mean literally millions of people have taken to the streets to protest corruption, to protest for the future of democracy and more. So we want to cover that going on, especially on this day on July 3rd. For us here in the United States, this is the day before Independence Day that began a struggle for freedom we're still fighting in America. But people are really standing up all across the globe. Maybe we can learn something from them, and maybe we can also just hear their stories and see what's going on. We have with us in the studio Claudia Costabile, who's PR manager and the U.S. Pharmacopeia, born and raised in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And she's lived in the D.C. area, a metro area, for almost 11 years now, and used to be listening to our show for a while when she lived in Baltimore. Claudia, good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Rosanna Sanford is with us. She is a teacher assistant, immigrated to the U.S. in 2001 from Brazil. Rosanna, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Fabio Olivia is with us. He's from Itapeva, a small town south of Sao Paulo, Brazil. He teaches Capoeira Angola for kids and joins us by phone as well. And Fabio, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook page. Tweet us at Mark Steiner to share your thoughts and ideas and questions for our guests here in this half hour. So let me just begin by asking, it was amazing to watch when this thing erupted because it happened like overnight. Claudia, that people, just millions of people, came out in the streets of Brazil covering a spectrum of political ideologies. Well, give us, from all your contacts and friends and stories, what pushed that many people out into the streets of Brazil?
I think there are different pieces of it. I think the movement started small because of a raise in the transport prices that we had there.
Like the raising bus fees.
It was the beginning of it. And those protests were crushed by the police, and that, I think,
pretty viciously, as I remember from the news stories.
Yes, and I think it became very obvious to the people that kind of repression, and then people kind of embraced that movement that started because of the 20 cents, but then spread to something that's much larger in Brazil, which are the conditions that people have been living there for a long time.
And Rosanna, what have you been hearing? What is your analysis of where this started and why?
Yes, I do agree with Claudia. It started basically because of the raise in the bus fares, and then also because we had the Confederations Cup going on in Brazil at the same time. The protesters, they did realize, wow, we have the world's attention right now. What a great time to show the world what's really going on here in Brazil.
And one of the things, Fabio, that we've learned from following this is that the government reacted to it by rolling back the prices that people would have to pay to get on the buses. But there was a quote, I'd like you to comment on. There's a quote that came out of, if I say the name wrong in Portuguese, please tell me how to pronounce it. This town is São Gonçalo.
São Gonçalo, yes.
Gonçalo?
Mm-hmm.
Gonçalo, he said, the young man said, the people have woken up. That scares the government. We have seen we can get changed by coming into the streets, and we'll keep protesting until we get what we want. What are your thoughts about that, Fabio, and what is it that people want beyond the bus fares, do you think? What is fueling this?
I think that the 20 cents hike was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, after that, people realize that they have more power than they expected, you know, and they start, like, there's a few laws that was trying to pass in the Congress in Brazil, and people stood against that, and those laws were defeated as well. So each region of Brazil has different issues, you know, that people are protesting, but in general, it's corruption that people are tired of, and they're trying to fight that.
Let's talk about these kind of three issues that actually Claudia and I were talking about before we got on the phone with all of you and on the air with everybody out here at 410-319-8888. And corruption was one of the issues. And Claudia, let me let you lead off here, because you were talking about people don't have a sense of how deep the corruption is in Brazil, how people who sit in the Congress of Brazil are immune from anything, whether it from hacking people to death to stealing multi-millions of dollars. They get away with anything they want. And to talk about that,
I think that's basically true. And I think it's not only the corruption, but the impunity that's the problem. a lot of these people, as I was telling you before, I felt proud to vote for our last president, President Lula. And then I think a lot of people thought that he would be, you know, this person that would fix a lot of problems for Brazil and its people. And they ended up, him and his party ended up being one of the most corrupt governments in Brazil. A lot of people from his party got convicted but didn't spend a day in jail and are appealing their convictions. And people kind of were used to seeing nothing being done. And I guess now they're like, okay, we're tired of seeing nothing being done. And the other thing is the image that people have outside from Brazil is that it's this progressing country where everything is going well. And I am very sad to say that that's not true. When you travel back home, you see that things are as corrupt and as they've always been.
And one of the things we were talking about before we went on the air, Rosanna, and then Fabio, was just that here you elected, the Brazilians elected a left-wing party in. Again, Rousseff was elected, a woman herself who was tortured and imprisoned during the military junta that ran Brazil. These are people who have fought for the rights of people in Brazil, the people's rights, workers' rights. But something happened. What do you think twists things when even a party that is on the left is in control, that they can't democratize the country? Poverty has gone down, but not by as much as people want. So what's your analysis of what's going on, Rosanna?
Yes. I think Brazilians have a lot of faith in general and a lot of passion. And just as it goes for soccer and many other things, people that elected Lula, they did have a lot of faith in him and his political story, you know, taking from where he came from and coming up to the top to becoming a president. And people trusted everything he said. And unfortunately, he hasn't been that way. And like most political parties in Brazil, his party has been just as corrupted as many of them. And I would say I think that social media has played a very important role in changing this history, and people are waking up to that. So we come to a point that Brazilians are not mostly being dominated by television media, and then who knows, maybe they're reading more newspapers, but of course they're following what their friends are saying on social media. And that, I think, plays a very important role in how people are protesting now and why they're going to the streets.
Fabio, what do you think the politics of this is? I mean, what are people demanding in Brazil that this government's not giving?
Everything.
So break that down for us, brother. What do you mean by everything?
One thing that we need to be careful is, like, when we talk about political parties, you know, like the government that we have right now, the federal government, is being, like, you know, frustrated for many people, and it's been good for some people, you know. But the bottom line is, like, there's not one political party in Brazil that can be trusted today, unfortunately, you know. I think people are, like, tired of the same old speech, and they're trying to fight against that, find a way to get out of that. But one of the things that people are afraid in Brazil is that the militaries might be looking at a possibility of taking over the government again. You know, there's some rumors. I don't know how much of that is true or not, but we need to be careful, you know. Like, if it's bad with political parties, it can be worse under military dictatorship. So it's a catch-22 right there.
We're facing this, both these half hours, we're facing the possibility that in both Brazil and Egypt, the military could try to intervene and take the countries over. And it looks like in some ways, tell me if you think I'm wrong, you all, but it seemed like watching Dilma Rousseff, the president of Brazil, a woman I said who had been tortured and imprisoned and is on the left, maybe in some ways was maybe a little further left than Lula in terms of, maybe not. And Claudia's saying, I don't think so. So that's maybe, you know, better than I. But that she seemed generally shocked at what happened.
I think that she knows how to manipulate people.
Uh-oh.
Well,
I love that. Tell me how it is, because I'm just watching from the outside.
She's taking the pledge of people and just making it not look so bad onto her and her government. In fact, there are some laws, as Fabio was saying, that were going to pass in Congress and have been blocked, or some that were on the line to being voted and have been voted. But what people don't realize is that it's the same as the system here, where you have a Senate and a House. Those laws, they're being voted in the Senate, but when they get to the House, they're being blocked again. So it's kind of going back to what it was.
Now, why is that? What's the gridlock about?
I think it's the corruption. Some of those laws are to, for example, eliminate a 14th and 15th salary for the government at the end of the year. We already have a 13th salary for public employees, and they.
What does that mean? A 13th, 14th?
Instead of having your 12 months of pay every month, they have a 13th, a 14th, and a 15th.
Oh, they
salary.
Get extra money at the end.
Yes, they
okay,
do. And
I got you.
One of
right,
the things
right.
that they were voting is to end that. Has gone through the Senate, but it's blocked by the House. So things like that, kind of go out in the social media, as Rosanna was saying, and people think, okay, these things are going forward, when in fact they are just being blocked, and it looks like it's just to keep people happy and maybe end the protests. But we got to be careful with those things, too.
Rosanna, you want to add something to that?
No, I agree with Claudia. I do think I actually read in the news yesterday something I didn't know about the agenda positiva, which they're calling, which would be like a positive agenda political outline, and things that they're doing that basically the government is being moved by the protesters. So I see in that change something positive, but of course people do have to keep their eyes open and see what they're really doing and what's really passing and what's not.
And Fabio, one of the things that I think has gripped Americans in this as I've been watching, because we often only see the surface of things in our media, but what you see in the surface of the American media, Fabio, is the protest against even the national cult of soccer and the soccer players who are now in the government and the soccer players who are now promoting the Olympics coming and the billions being spent in the Olympics, which maybe is the basis for the protest that involves soccer. But it's as if Americans rose up during the World Series or the Super Bowl and said, enough. We're in the streets. We're not going to the games, which I would love to see in America, but I don't think it's going to happen. But so tell me how that played into all this, Fabio.
I think it was a good timing that the protest happened when the Confederations Cup happened in Brazil. The media were out there and was being able to report, like, you know, not just in the national level, international level, that got like some good news in the States, in Europe and everything. People seem like they're, you know, trying to fight what the major point for the World Cup, that is the increase of the price for all the constructions that they did in Brazil and the lack of structure for like schools and hospitals. I think people really they seen this opportunity and was a great way to show the government that they're tired of this, because they're investing so much money in the World Cup and saying that it's going to become, the money is going to come from the private sector and this and that and da da da, and stadiums, they're like supposed to cost like $500,000, like now it's cost like $1.2 billion, you know. So it's like it's just ridiculous the way that things were happening there, and this was the perfect time for people to protest and show that, you know, we love soccer, but we love our country more than that, you know. And we'll see how the momentum is gonna be after the you know, between now and the World Cup itself, and between the World Cup and the Olympic Games in 2016, if people are gonna still, you know, being protesting like and trying to take a closer look on the expense for those events. And I don't know, the issue, I think one of the main issues that very few people in Brazil have hands on the power and the money that is happening there. I really don't know how people are going to be able to disassociate with soccer. That's something that, you know, is in the Brazilian culture per se.
It's a heart for many, and I wonder, Claudia. I mean, again, what politically you think could happen here? I remember the last election, there was a woman named Marina Silva who ran for president,
mm-hmm.
who got more votes than people thought would get,
yeah.
when she ran, an Afro-Brazilian woman, and so does that figure into any of this?
I hope so, Fabio. I think that's a hope. And I think unless, and it's another thing that we need to be more informed about, is people need to learn how to vote. And I think that's the only tool that we have.
What do you mean learn how to vote? What do you mean by that?
I don't think people know exactly who they're voting for, especially for the House and the Senate. Yes, the president is important, but she's not, you know, she doesn't have ample power, you know, without her Congress. And unless you know the people you're voting for, I don't think you can hope for change. And I think voting is the only tool that you have that could bring some change to Brazil. And because you don't have, like, a party or a person or, you know, someone right now that you can trust, it might be an opportunity for some of those people that wanted to get into politics and change to come into play. But, you know, unless people know how to vote and who they're voting for, I don't think there's going to be a big change.
And I think the idea that millions of people were in the street, I mean, that's almost unheard of. I mean, Egypt and Brazil, these things have kind of, we'll see if this explodes beyond Brazil and Egypt in terms of people who want a different kind of world doing the same thing in America or some other places. Okay, Claudia.
And I think the other thing is, as Fabio said, we hope that the momentum holds because the new elections for president are next year.
Well, they're next year. Okay.
And so it's more than a year away. So if we don't keep that momentum and keep wanting that change, then it might just die. You know, that thing, it might just go away.
I wonder, one of the things I said of Fabio and Rosanna to Claudia before we started the show was, you know, the world watched this kind of left-wing government win under Lula and now Rousseff in Brazil and their party win. And it seemed, though, that maybe what it's, and I don't know how you address this, but that the power of the political corruption, the power of literally capital, of wealth, of international capital, even when a left-wing government, Fabio, it seems to take power, people who want to do different, it's almost like things are stymied by the power they face.
It's too much money, you know, involved in those things. It's just like you grab a little bit of power, you don't want to let it go. That's one of the things that happened with the Workers' Party in Brazil, you know, like, they've been, like, fighting, you know, being the opposition of the government for so many years, and once they become the government, they show the same things that the previous government were doing. And it was frustrating for many people, you know, to see that. They were, like, one of the last hopes. Now, Marina Silva, it was, like, you know, unbelievable what she was able to accomplish in the last election. But the media is already, like, you know, really, like, going after her because she's evangelical. So there's a lot of things like, oh, you know, she's going to try to do this in Brazil and blah, blah, blah. So people need to be careful. Like Claudia said, like, people do need to learn how to vote, you know, and the federal level as a for president and everything, but on the local level is as important as voting for a president or governor, you know. Like, we go to small cities in Brazil, and they have, like, the council members and everything, and people have been in power for years, and nothing really changed. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And Rosanna, we also talked a little bit ago about the possibility that there could be another military coup, which could change the dynamics of everything that happens, Rosanna.
Yeah, I actually don't believe in that.
Good. All right.
Yeah. I think taking all the international attention that we've gotten and taking the attitude of the people out in the streets right now, I believe that would happen. And I just would like to add to what my friends are saying.
Mm-hmm,
when
please.
We're talking about Brazilians learning how to vote, we have to remember that Brazilian citizens are, it's an obligation to vote. Wow. If you don't, you have a hard time finding a job, you have a hard time finding for insurance, or it really ruins your life. So, and then you also have to think that many votes there are exchanged for very small favors. A politician can go to the outskirts of the city and offer a soccer team, a neighborhood in that soccer team, and say, hey, I can exchange your vote, I can give you guys soccer jerseys. Would you be willing to do that? So it's like you do have to learn how to vote, but you also have to take in consideration all of those people's needs who are selling their vote for so cheap.
So there's that level of desperation that meets corruption.
Yes. Absolutely.
Which destroys elections and democracy.
Exactly.
That's very interesting. That's some clarity. I never, until Rosanna said it, I don't think I've heard that or seen that written anywhere.
Yeah. And I think the thing is to, you know, when you look at the ratings of the Brazilian government, it's a high approval rate. Part of it is because of what Rosanna was saying. You know, if you're very poor and if you're offered an opportunity to have a little bit more money to help you get by, then why aren't you not going to approve your government and think that they're good for you? I think the issue goes deeper because instead of just, you know, solving the problem for good, the government has been using this kind of aids to help people in one hand, but also to keep them at bay and not having them kind of rebel against that same government that's being so corrupt at the same time.
So what are you all looking to see, starting with Fabio and going around the room here? What are you all looking to see happen in the next weeks? What are you going to be watching for, Fabio?
I'd like to see more of the, on the justice side, people being convicted, you know, going to jail. They just passed a law, actually, that makes corruption a felony. So I think that's a good thing. And hopefully, you know, the judicial system will go through with that. Because before it was a misdemeanor, and that's ridiculous. People were, like, stealing millions of dollars, and nothing would happen to them, pretty much. You know, so now being a felony, let's see how that's going to be played once people get caught, you know.
Interesting. Rosanna?
Yes, I do hope that politicians do learn what shame is and that the Brazilian citizens are aware of all the power that they have in their hands. And so I'm hopeful for a good change.
How would you like to finish this, Claudia?
I think that... I do hope that the protests continue until we get something done in Brazil. And I hope I am very wrong when I say that things can go back to the way they've always been. I hope for a very big political change and that people vote right in the next elections and that they start something good.
Claudia Costable, one of our guests, has lived in the D.C. area for about 11 years in this metro area. She's PR manager for U.S. Pharmacopeia. And born and raised in Sao Paulo. Rosanna Sanford is a teacher assistant who immigrated here in 2001 from Brazil. Fabio Olivia is from Itabeva, a small town outside of Sao Paulo. He's here now where he works for DST and teaches Capoeira, Angola, for children. And I love watching Capoeira. Maybe I'll come down and see it myself, Fabio. Fabio, Rosanna, Claudia, thank you all three so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you
for having us.
Our connections to Brazil. Now we're going to take a break and find our connections to what's happening in the streets of Egypt. Stay with us.